FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Another edition of what I call American Exposé. Listeners, 10 years into doing this, running out of steam. The beat goes on. The measures and directions indicate themselves on the major press, and situations are very, very obvious to me and to most of you that are listening as well. And I understand the ratings are going up over here at First Amendment Radio, and that's very, very good indeed. I promised Charlotte Isaby that I would cover Revolution in Education Soviet Style tonight. I have something from October 19th where Brazil's government has pledged $14 million for relief efforts in the Amazon River Basin, an area ravaged by the worst drought in decades. The worst drought in decades, listeners. Weather control, weather modification, drought inducement, environmental modification, wars, it all interconnects to the disasters in the world today. A decline in rainfall since January has lowered the main trunk of the Amazon by about 6 feet from its average water depth of 55 feet. Many tributaries have dried out almost entirely in a region where waterways often provide the only means of transport. Riverbeds are filled with dead fish and rotting river grass, making the river undrinkable. Once waters began to rise, said Hal Levy, a spokesman for the Amazonas state government. Quote, the most worrisome thing at this moment is the potential for drinking water to be contaminated when the rivers rise, end quote, National Integration Minister Cairo Gomes said Tuesday in Brasilia, the nation's capital, announcing the government allocation, quote, this is the worst drought in over 50 years, end quote. Gomes did not specify how the money would be spent. Brazil's government was sending 18 tons of water purification tablets and 100,000 basic food baskets to help the 167,000 people affected by the drought. It's no different now than it was on October 19th when this was published, listeners. Military transport planes and helicopters have been busy distributing food and medical supplies to 28 of the state's 61 municipalities since Saturday, when Amazonas Governor Eduardo Braga declared a state of emergency across the Alaska-sized state. Levy said that rain in some areas is helping raise the levels of some tributaries, but the situation is not expected to improve for at least 40 days. Carlos Rettel, coordinator of Greenpeace's campaign on climate change, said that regardless of the rains, the rivers traditionally only reach their lowest levels at the end of October. Quote, the locals depend on the river for their drinking water, and as the rivers dry out, they won't only have to walk further and further for their water. The water they'll find will be dirtier, end quote, Rettel said by telephone from Manaus, the capital of Amazonia's state. So, the situation of created situations, in my opinion, continues. Yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day, and certainly the Oklahoman gave a lot of prominence to that. Pearl Harbor Day. Ronald Nee of Rush Springs says, I relive Pearl Harbor every day of my life. Think of some of those individuals that do that, relive Pearl Harbor every day of their lives. Think of those in Korea that spent the war in Korea, relive that every day of their lives. Think of Bobby Garwood, who spent 14 years as a prisoner of the North Vietnamese, as he was 10 days away from being furloughed home to be married. And he had a 14-year diversion, learned the language, found a way to get out to vilification in America. Think of the life Bobby Garwood has. Think of the lives Vietnam veterans have today, remembering what happened there. Think of those that go to the Middle East today for another Vietnam. They make it home, sometimes without limbs, sometimes in serious condition mentally, sometimes in serious condition physically. Think of those that do this for the coalition forces in the Middle East mess, which is only going to escalate. Here we see dated Thursday, December 8th, an erupting volcano in this remote South Pacific island burst into spectacular life today, shooting steam and toxic gases 9,845 feet into the sky. This is from Ambe Island, Vanuatu. Huge columns of dense white steam and muddy ash spewed above Ambe Island to reach the greatest height seen since the Mount Monero volcano began erupting November 27th. Thousands of villagers have been evacuated from the path of a possible layer or mud flow that volcanologists fear could burst over the crater lip if the eruption continues to intensify, sweeping away the flimsy homes in its path. A quote-unquote red zone has been declared around the volcano, and several ships were ready to evacuate islanders if the situation worsens dramatically. New Zealand volcanologist Brad Scott, who is an Ambe monitoring the eruption, said, quote, it remains a low-level eruption, but it could go either way, worsen or slowly subside, end quote. And what is the situation that has come out of this? Who knows? Think of those soldiers that gave their lives in Korea. Think of the POWs that never returned from Korea. Think of the 8,000 POWs never to return. According to the Helms report from 1991, that is the case of what happened. And from Seoul, South Korea, the United States refused Wednesday to withdraw financial sanctions, what it called North Korea's criminal regime, accusing the government of arms dealing, drug sales, money laundering, and counterfeiting. Quote, it's up to North Korea to end the behavior that led to those sanctions, end quote, U.S. Ambassador to South Korea Alexander Virchow told the National Press Club in Seoul. Quote, this is a criminal regime, and we can't somehow remove our sanctions as a political gesture, end quote. His description of the North provoked strong criticism from a top South Korean official. Quote, it's not desirable to publicly criticize the other side, end quote. Sun Min-soon, South Korea's chief negotiator, at six party talks over the North nuclear ambitions, told the Associated Press in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Quote, if North Korea makes a similar characterization, would that be good? End quote. Virchow's talk came one day after North Korea threatened to boycott the six-nation talks on eliminating its nuclear weapons programs unless Washington lifts sanctions imposed in October. The United States imposed sanctions targeting eight North Korean companies. It said acted as fronts for the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. North Korea vehemently denies the allegations. Here we see proposals asked for controls over emissions. And U.S. does reject bid. The United States on Wednesday rejected a Canadian bid to draw Washington into future global talks on climate change, a new round that would extend mandatory cutbacks in carbon emissions. Quote, it is our belief that progress cannot be made through these formalized discussions. End quote. U.S. delegation head Paula Dobrowolski told reporters at a two-week U.N. climate conference involving more than 180 nations entered its final days. Arctic natives, meanwhile, announced they had filed an international human rights complaint against the United States to try to pressure Washington to cap the quote-unquote greenhouse gases they blame for the accelerated warming that is melting their icy homelands. My. Bangladesh Ambassador Rafig Ahmed Khan, whose low-lying land faces future flooding from sea rising from global warming, spoke on behalf of the poorest nations. Quote, only strong political will can show the way, end quote, he told delegates. Quote, these impacts are felt mostly by the people who are poor and most vulnerable, end quote. Isn't that just the way it goes and is? What does HAARP do, people? Heats the ionosphere, according to certain sources, quote-unquote experts. It was the first annual UN climate conference since the Kyoto Protocol took effect last February, requiring 35 industrialized countries to curb emissions of carbon dioxide and five other gases that act like a greenhouse trapping heat in the atmosphere. Amazing. Among major developed nations, only the United States and Australia reject that agreement, worked out in 1997 in Kyoto, Japan, and designed to produce an average of 5% reduction of emissions below 1990 levels by 2012. Under the protocol, talks must now begin on emissions controls after 2012, and Canadian Environment Minister Stephanie Dion, looking for a compromise route forward, this week proposed a plan, quote, for discussion to explore and analyze approaches for long-term cooperative action to address climate change, end quote, with a deadline for agreement by 2008. 2008 is when NAFTA is supposed to be fully implemented, listeners, according to the research and the documentation that I've read. 2008, NAFTA fully implemented. The Bush administration says it prefers to deal with other governments on a bilateral or regional basis on financing new energy-saving technologies and on voluntary approaches to reducing emissions. Don't quite know what to say about all that at this point in time. We are the UN system. The State Department has the U.S. mission to the United Nations. And it's vital that you connect the dots to all this yourself. Never in history has it been so easy to get information about what's being done to us, at us, and for us. So dated October 29, 2005, as I'm going to fulfill my promise tonight. And this is an important note from the author. The next time you attempt to discuss with a friend or acquaintance a serious issue, such as illegal immigration, the Iraq War, or loss of constitutional rights under the Patriot Act, or the latest Supreme Court decision doing away with private property rights, and you get that glazed, blank, mindless, couldn't care less expression, you're encouraged to refer back to this, which I'm about to cover, which attempts to explain the cause of that glazed expression, Pavlovian Skinnerian conditioning, be it through operant conditioning programs in the schools, computers at school or at home, the television, radio, music, video games, or plain print media. It is important for Americans to become aware of the effects of conditioning, the brain and soul. It's the conscience killer, which is silently at work in our society 24 hours a day, 355 days a year, or 365 days a year. Wilhelm Maximilian Wundt, the founder of the experimental psychology, was born in 1832 in Nackerau, Germany, graduated as a medical doctor from Heidelberg University in 1856. He worked at Heidelberg for the next 17 years, ultimately becoming a professor in the field of psychology. Psychology at that time meant simply the study of the soul or mind. In 1874, Wundt left Heidelberg to take a position as professor of philosophy at Zurich, stayed there only 1 year, and then accepted a chair in philosophy at the University of Leipzig, where he spent the rest of his academic career. He died in 1920. Wundt was the founder of experimental psychology and the force within it, or behind it, dissemination through the Western world. To Wundt, a thing made sense and it was worth pursuing if it could be measured, quantified, and scientifically demonstrated. Seeing no way to do this with the human soul, he proposed that psychology concern itself solely with experience. As Wundt put it, quote, "It truly appears to be a waste of energy to keep returning to such aimless discussions about the future of the psyche, which were in vogue for a while, and particularly still are. Instead, rather of applying one's energies where they will produce real results," end quote. In his Philosophical Studies, which became the official organ of both the new laboratory and the newly redefined science of psychology, he stated, quote, "The work which I here present to the public is an attempt to mark out a new domain of science," end quote. Wundt asserted that man is devoid of spirit and self-determination. He set out to prove that man is the summation of his experiences, of the stimuli which intrude upon his consciousness and unconsciousness. from once work, it was only a short step to the later definition of the meaning of education. Originally, education meant the drawing out of a person's intimate talents and abilities by imparting the knowledge of languages, scientific reasoning, history, literature, rhetoric, etc., the channels through which those abilities would flourish and serve. To the experimental psychologist, however, education became the process of exposing the student to meaningful experiences so as to ensure desired reactions. Quote, the situation response formula is adequate to cover learning of any sort, and the really influential factors in learning are readiness of the neurons, sequence of time, belongingness, and satisfying consequences, end quote. Comes from Rudolf Pinter, or Pintner, an online educational psychology, 1934, page 79. Wundt's thesis laid the philosophical basis for the principles of conditioning later developed by Pavlov, who studied psychology in Leipzig in 1884, 5 years after Wundt had inaugurated his laboratory there. An American behavioral psychologist such as Watson and Skinner . So we have public schools adopt Soviet techniques, part one. An AP article, quote, Arizona High School trades textbooks for laptops, end quote, August 15, 2005, opens the door for a long overdue discussion of the dangers of the Pavlovian Skinnerian method of instruction, also known as mastery learning, outcomes performance, results-based education, and direct instruction. This programmed learning, stimulus, response, bells and whistles, animal training method, has been in use for over 30 years in the nation's schools, primarily in urban schools and special education classrooms. Now that it has been incorporated into computer software programs, it will replace textbooks as the primary instructional media. As the reader will see from many quotes in this article, this type of computer-assisted instruction is essential for value and attitude change and for workforce training. The AP article states, in part, quote, students at Empire High School here started class this year with no textbooks. But it wasn't because of a funding crisis. Instead, the school issued iBooks, laptop computers by Apple Computer Incorporated, to each of its 340 students, becoming one of the first U.S. public schools to shun printed textbooks. Empire High, which opened for the first time this year, was designed specifically to have a textbook-free environment. Schools typically overlay computers into their instruction, like frosting on the cake, Baker said. We decided that the real opportunity was to make the laptops the key ingredient of the cake, to truly change the way schools are operated, end quote. Also keep in mind, parents and teachers in the state of Maine should be especially interested in Empire High School's decision to chuck the textbooks, since Maine was the first state to move toward the computerization of schools, thanks to the aggressive lobbying of the business community and former Governor Angus King. All middle school students in Maine have been provided with Apple computers. Over the strenuous objections of many well-informed persons within the education community and the Maine legislature, this innovation will soon have extended itself into Maine's high schools and down into the elementary schools. If parents and teachers do not mount a major resistance to this radical change in education, Fortunately, Maine has not yet chucked the textbooks. The plan to get rid of textbooks and to computerize instruction dates back to at least 1971. The February 22, 1971 Individualized Learning Letter, an administrator's guide to improve learning, stresses on its letterhead the need for, quote, individualized instruction methods, flexible scheduling, behavioral objectives, study units, self-directed learning, and accountability, end quote. And states under quotes you can use. Quote, down with books. Textbooks not only encourage learning at the wrong level, they also violate an important new concern in American education, individualized instruction. A good start would be to declare a moratorium on textbooks use in all courses, end quote. That comes from Dwight D. Allen, Dean of Education, University of Massachusetts, writing on the decline of the textbook. Change, January, February, 1971. The same newsletter advertised, quote, First National Educational Technology Conference, April 5th through the 8th, 1971, Americana Hotel, New York City. Conference seminars and workshops will cover curriculum design, use of computers, programmed instruction, simulation, innovation theory, etc., end quote. 3 years later, in 1974, Leon Lessinger, superintendent of schools in Beverly Hills, California, and former Associate Commissioner of Education in the U.S. Office of Education, called for the implementation of Skinnerian behavior modification and discussed environmental influence when he said, quote, would what we had such a system of accountability, end quote. Lessinger went on to recommend, quote, use of contingency rewards may make you feel comfortable, uncomfortable, does me, but he who shirks this responsibility does a disservice to the children of the United States. Behavior modification is here. Better for us to master and use wisely, powerful, 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 end quote. Fast forward 8 years to the annual meeting of the Council of Chiefs of State School Officers in 1982, during which Dr. Elam Hertzler, Secretary of Education, T.H. Bell's top assistant in the U.S. Department of Education, told the state superintendents of instruction, quote, one of the elements of an effective school was to monitor, assess, and feedback as little as 5% of the school budget, K through 12, would be needed over a period of 12 years to enable each student to have its own computer, and this is within our cost range, end quote. As indicated, this plan to get rid of textbooks and implement Pavlovian Skinnerian computerized instruction has been on the drawing board for many years, just like everything else in the deliberate dumbing down of our schools. This is the education or training system for the brave new world order, the system which denies free will and will ensure that your child no longer receives a traditional academic education, but he be trained with rewards and punishments to be docile, accepting, non-thinking, atheistic performer robot in Lenin's international socialistic system. Euphemetically referred to by our controlled media as democratic socialism, which is being implemented world region by world region as we speak. Thank you.
opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at firstamendmentradio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on firstamendmentradio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at firstamendmentradio.com. Notice... FirstAmendmentRadio.com is looking for new talent. Do you have the gift of gab? Do you got what it takes? Are you ready to go up against Alex Limbaugh, Rush Jones? Are you funny, entertaining, as well as informative? Maybe you know a local talent whom the nation deserves to hear. Send us a sample or email a bio for a live tryout. The nation is waiting to hear a new voice. It may be yours. We'll let the audience decide. Email us today, talent@firstamendmentradio.com. talent@firstamendmentradio.com.
Coming man for the new world, all the well be at hand.
PokerFace.com is their website. I like them more and more as I listen to them. The admission by Empire High School, one of the first schools to implement this textbook-free schooling, allows education researchers who have focused on the dangers of the Skinnerian behaviorist method to finally be listened to. The old saying applies here. You'll know it's true when it happens to you. Now that parents will be faced with their children learning exclusively from computers, which are operant conditioning, attitude and value changing machines, perhaps they will be willing to listen to those teachers and education researchers who have been issuing warnings ever since the early 80s when the Skinner method and the proposed use of computer technology was carved in stone by the Reagan administration's Department of Education, commencing with the National Commission on Excellence's Nation at Risk report, continuing with its major computer technology initiative, Project BEST, Basic Education Skills Through Technology, the infamous 1984 Utah grant to Professor William Spady to pilot outcomes-based education in Utah, and then to, quote, put it in all schools of the nation, end quote. And ultimately, with the Bush administration's support for Skinnerian direct instruction to teach reading. The No Child Left Behind Act virtually mandated the, quote, scientific-based research, end quote, Skinner reading method be used in the classrooms of our nation, to the exclusion of other non-behaviorist methods of reading instruction, which have successfully taught children to read for over 100 years. Siegfried Engelmann's federally funded, quote, Teaching Your Children to Read in 100 Easy Lessons, that's SRA's DISTAR Mastery Reading Program, is probably the most extensively used direct instruction program in the nation and is best known for its controversial results in Houston, Texas. It has a teacher training video which instructs teachers on the use of hand signals with children, the same hand signals one uses when training dogs. The Exemplary Center for Reading Instruction, the ECRI, a federally funded to the tune of $848,536 in 1966 dollars, Mastery Learning Direct Instruction Program is the fraternal twin of DISTAR. It has been used extensively across the country since 1966. Its published reports listed its use by 3,000 schools as of 1985. According to doctors, teachers, and parents, it causes sickness and stress for students and turns teachers into robots. Its pre-training manual lists the following teacher and resource materials: adoption of birds, monitoring forms before and after instruction, observation data sheet records, how to teach animals by Skinner, how to teach animals a rat, a pigeon, a dog by Kathleen and Shauna Reed, the late Dr. Jeanette Vetich, internationally known in the field of reading, called the ECRI program. Quote, a more modern version of breaking children to the heel of thought control, end quote. She added, quote, it is so flagrantly dangerous, damaging, and destructive, I am appalled at its existence, end quote. The following quotes should help Americans understand the importance of the Pavlovian Skinnerian method and how the use of computers has been planned for over 50 years and how it will affect the education and behavior of their children, and of utmost importance, how such education denies free will. Don't forget, it was Professor B.F. Skinner who said, quote, I can make a pigeon a high achiever by reinforcing it on a proper schedule, end quote. And, quote, operant conditioning shapes behavior as a sculpture shapes a lump of clay, end quote. Also most frightening and significant is the following 1984 quote from Dustin Houston of Utah's World Institute for Computer-Assisted Teaching, WICAT, W-I-C-A-T, quote, "We've been absolutely staggered, we've been absolutely staggered by realizing the computer has the capability to act as if it were 10 of the top psychologists working with one student. We've seen the tip of the iceberg. Wouldn't it be wonderful when the child in the smallest county, in the most distant area, or in the most confused urban setting can have the equivalent of the finest school in the world on the terminal, and no one can get between that child and that curriculum? We have great moments coming in the history of education," end quote. This comment should come as a shocker to parents who have been battling openly and usually unsuccessfully at school board meetings to have certain controversial textbooks and social engineering programs removed from the schools. At least before, sometimes parents had access to what their children were learning in school. Dustin Houston explains that such a privilege will no longer be granted to parents. And in case parents don't really believe that operant conditioning or behavior modification programs, which now will primarily use the computer for reinforcement, are dangerous and are designed to destroy your children's traditional values, we continue. The late Professor Benjamin Bloom, internationally known behaviorist, father of Pavlovian Skinnerian mastery learning and outcomes-based education, said in his taxonomy of educational objectives, quote, "The evidence points out convincingly to the fact that age is a factor operating against attempts to effect a complete or thoroughgoing reorganization of attitudes and values. The evidence collected thus far suggests that a single hour of classroom activity under certain conditions may bring about a major reorganization in cognitive as well as affective behaviors," end quote. Attitudes, values, and beliefs, listeners. Bloom also said that the purpose of education was to, quote, "change the thoughts, actions, and feelings of students," and define good teaching as challenging the students' fixed beliefs. Additional proof of the computer's ability to change attitudes is found in, quote, "The Role of the Computer in Future Instructional Systems," end quote, which was published as the March-April 1963 supplement of the Audiovisual Communication Review of the Technological Development Project for the National Education Association, U.S. Office of Education, Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. Excerpts from a chapter entitled Effortless Learning, Attitude Changing, and Training in Decision Making follows. Quote, "Another area of potential development in computer applications is the attitude changing machine. Dr. Bertram Raven of the Psychology Department at the University of California at Los Angeles is in the process of building a computer-based device for changing attitudes. This device will work on the principle that students' attitudes can be changed effectively by using the Socratic method of asking an appropriate series of leading questions designed to right the balance between appropriate attitudes and those deemed less acceptable. For instance, after first determining a student's constellation of attitudes through appropriate testing procedures, the machine would calculate which attitudes are out of phase and which of these are amenable to change. If the student were opposed to foreign trade, say, and a favorable disposition were sought for, The machine would select an appropriate series of statements and questions organized to write the imbalance in the student's attitudes. The machine, for instance, would have detected that the student liked President Kennedy and was against the spread of communism. Therefore, the student would be shown that JFK favored foreign trade and that the foreign trade to underdeveloped countries helped to arrest the communist infiltration of those governments. If the student's attitudes toward Kennedy and against communism were sufficiently strong, Dr. Ravin would hypothesize that a positive change in attitude toward foreign trade would be effectively brought about by showing the student the inconsistency of his views. There is considerable evidence that such techniques do effectively change attitudes. Admittedly, training and decision-making skills is a legitimate goal of education in this age of automation, but the problem remains. Does the educator know what values to teach to the different outcomes of these decisions? What about students whose values are out of line with the acceptable values of democratic society? Should they be taught to conform to someone else's accepted judgment of proper values? Training in decision-making is ultimately compounded with training in value judgment and, as such, becomes a controversial subject and needs to be resolved by educators before the tools can be put into use. End quote. The operant conditioning method is an animal training method. Since the top behaviorist educators consider man an animal without a soul, mind, or conscience, it makes sense to them that man be trained, not educated. One can train an animal, but one cannot educate an animal. Dogs sit upon command when they know there is a reward for doing so, meaning a dog biscuit, listeners. Since this type of stimulus response computer education does not transfer, meaning dogs are unable to make connections between different commands, your children will not be able to learn. They will simply respond, as would an animal, to bells and whistles, which are nothing but neurological stimuli. And yes, it works. Yes, it is effective, since it allows for the precise measurement of your child's thoughts and behaviors. Yes, it provides for accountability through computerized data collection of your child's behaviors to the federal international government and to UNESCO. It is not, however, accountable in any way to you, the parent, or to the teacher, now known as a facilitator of learning, not a transmitter of knowledge. This method, in conjunction with computers, can be counted on to train and brainwash your children and your teachers to become members of the collective group, to perform like robots and animals, lifelong, in the social and career roles intended for them by the multinational corporate and global elite, and to never, ever speak out in opposition to the government for fear of punishment. And yes, it is an invasion of privacy. How easy will it be for the government, schools, to maintain records on every aspect of your child's personality and behavior? This individuality or willingness to conform to the group, his tolerance or lack thereof, of any and all lifestyles, his religious beliefs or lack thereof, his global mindlessness or his lack thereof, his intelligence, his mental health, his sexual prerogatives, and to make such information available upon request to any corporation, government or private snoop agency without written, informed parental consent. The U.S. Department of Education already collects such information through the mandated National Assessment of Educational Progress, the NAEP. But the collection of information will be facilitated when the school's administrative offices are connected to the content of such individual students' computer hard drive. President Bush's mental health screening initiative can be easily implemented simply through the computerization of the NAEP. 60% of the test items included in the mandated NAEP, upon which most state assessments are based, are already attitudinal or politically correct. The general agreement between the United States of America and the United Soviet Socialist Republic on contacts, exchanges, and cooperation in scientific, technical, educational, cultural, and other fields, signed by Presidents Reagan and Gorbachev in 1985, which are still in effect, virtually merged the two countries' education systems and called for cooperation in furthering this type of Pavlovian computerized education. The agreement signed between the Carnegie Corporation and the Soviet Academy of Science in 1985 was even more specific and resulted in, quote, joint research on the application of computers in early elementary education, focusing especially on the teaching of higher level skills and complex subjects to younger children, end quote. Quote, higher level skills, end quote, is often a euphemism for, quote, critical thinking skills, end quote. Ann Landa, quote, Lenin on Educating Youth, end quote, published by the state-controlled Novosti Press, quotes Lenin on, quote, unquote, thinking as follows, quote, to pose a real question means to define a problem which demands a new approach and new research. Sometimes accepted truth no longer answers as a solution for a serious and pressing problem. The school should cultivate in pupils an ability to perceive scientifically, evolve truth as stages along the endless road of cognition, not as something stationary and set, end quote. But you, dear parent, will not know how your second graders' values are being changed. Since, as Houston says above, quote, you will not be able to get between your child and that computer curriculum, end quote. Not only are your children being conditioned in the Pavlovian Skinnerian schools of America, your teachers, who, as stated before, are now known as facilitators of learning, not as, quote, transmitters of knowledge, end quote, have been even more victimized than your children. The May 1985 issue of the Effective School Report, entitled, quote, Principals' Expectations as a Motivating Factor in Effective Schools, end quote, says the following regarding the conditioning of teachers. Quote, the principal accepts specific behavior from particular teachers, which should then translate to achievement by students of these teachers. Because of these varied expectations, the principal behaves differently toward different teachers, i.e., body language, verbal interactions, and resource allocations. This treatment also influences the attitudes of the teacher toward the principal and their perception of the future utility of any increased efforts toward student achievement. If this treatment is consistent over time and if the teachers do not resist change, it will shape their behavior and through it the achievement of their students. With time, teachers' behavior, self-concepts of ability, perceptions of future utility, attitude towards the principal, and students' achievement will conform more and more closely to the behavior originally expected of them, end quote. Do the above quotes reflect your views and or what you want for your children? Do these quotes reflect how good American teachers want to be trained to teach in the Orwellian classroom of the future? Additional most legitimate concerns regarding the computerization of education are addressed in an excellent article entitled The Computer Delusion by Todd Oppenheimer, which was published in the July 1997 issue of the Atlantic Monthly. And there are excerpts here where Oppenheimer states, quote, opinions differ in part because research on the brain is still so sketchy and computers are so new that the effect of computers on the brain remains a great mystery, end quote. Quote, I don't think we know anything about it, end quote, Harry Chugani, a pediatric neurobiologist at the Wayne State University, told Oppenheimer, quote, this very ignorance makes skeptics wary, end quote. Quote, nobody knows how kids' internal wiring works, end quote. Clifford Stoll wrote in Silicon Snake Oil, quote, but anyone who's directed away from the social interactions has a head start on turning out weird. No computer can teach what a walk through a pine forest feels like. Sensation has no substitute, end quote. In Silicon Snake Oil, Michael Fellows, a computer scientist at the University of Victoria in British Columbia, says, quote, most schools would probably be better off if they threw their computers into the dumpster, end quote. Very relevant, people, to what's going on today. As I see maps for kids in the Oklahoma dated Sunday, November 20th, boundary vote expected Monday, maps for kids, metropolitan area projects, a big portion of Agenda 21 being implemented in Oklahoma. Can you believe it? I hope so. It's in your paper, too. Good night.
You're just a scared little girl, wondering how to start your life. They tell you which way to go, which way life will work out right.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by